I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning. Welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. I am your host, offering up a safe space to the independent thinkers out there, beholden to no party, no politician. This is Thursday. We'll have our Freedom and Prosperity Hour next hour with Stone Clanton from Americans for Prosperity. We'll see what they've got going on as they are launching some events to call out the true cost of government, which is what you're paying at the pump, what you're paying at the grocery stores, what you're paying for rent, what you're paying for your mortgage. All of these inflation items are what you are paying for is this massive federal government. You can couch it however you want to. You can play your political games with it. We've got some news on that. The rats are all they're all pointing fingers at each other. It's interesting to watch them, the circular firing squad that's going on around inflation right now. The bottom line is it is your government, the ones you have elected in both parties, have created the inflation that you were paying for. Now you can resist that, you can ignore that, and it just assures that it will last forever as long as you ignore that. So anyway, Americans for Prosperity are going to be out on an education tour about inflation. We'll talk about their event. I got a big gas station event coming up, I would imagine. Wait, has that already happened? No, we'll talk to him in a second about it. Quotes of the day today. The first quote of the day, not a funny one, and then we're going to get into some real humor here, some very funny stuff. Judge Napolitano, the libertarian, says, "The Second Amendment wasn't written so we could go hunting. It was written so we could shoot at the government if it was ever taken over by tyrants." The Second Amendment wasn't written so we could go hunting. It was written so we could shoot at the government if it was ever taken over by tyrants. I got to tell you, at this point, I'm not sure what we're waiting on. I don't know if you saw. Well, I don't know. I may save the story. Joe Biden, all by himself, he's waging a war against tobacco and vaping. It's a tremendous amount of power in that White House these days, isn't there? You can just deem things legal, illegal, manipulate levels of this or that. It's truly amazing. And this is after 2 years of telling churches they had to shutter, telling businesses they could only have 25% occupancy. I'm not really sure where the line is that qualifies someone as a tyrant. I feel from a libertarian perspective that's crossed long ago, but we'll see. God love the Babylon Bee. Truly cheers me up. Just about every time I look at their site, these guys are... This was the headline on Babylon Bee. Doctors say Biden recovering from bike crash fine. Just has a few scrapes and Alzheimer's. Oh my gosh. Oh, in my next life, I want to come back and I want to... And just exist. I'll go get coffee for him. I just want to be in the offices of the Babylon Bee. That must be a fantastic place to work. Doctors say Biden recovering from bike crash fine. Just has a few scrapes and Alzheimer's. This is also funny, but not as much laugh out loud, gut busting funny, but funny in its absurdity. There's a headline today that I ran across on the Daily Mail. Here's the headline on the Daily Mail. How Russia, quote, faked its COVID vaccine trial and made billions along the way, unquote. Scientists find quote, ridiculous, unquote, anomalies in Kremlin jab data and say there's only a 0.02% chance the trial results were genuine. Russia appears, this is from the story from the UK, Russia appears to have faked trial results in its flagship COVID vaccine, according to an analysis. A team of researchers in Australia and Singapore who pored over the original study have uncovered what they believe is proof that the Kremlin fabricated efficacy data. Russian scientists claim the jab produced nearly identical results across five different age groups when the trial was published last year. Now, am I wrong? Has my memory failed me? Were we not treated to, in this country, the heads of the FDA, the CDC, Pfizer, Moderna, and every politician, including Donald Trump, carrying their water, telling us that this vaccine is safe and effective and 100% effective at preventing hospitalizations and death? Not 99.9. Not 94. They said our vaccine here was 100% effective against hospitalizations and death. Back to this UK story, this Daily Mail story. It sparked claims among some experts the results were, quote, too good to be true, unquote, given the tiny number of infections that occurred in each cohort. Now, researchers have run the trial through a simulation model 50,000 times to test the likelihood of the results being genuine. I mean, you know, I thought, you know, pot, hello kettle, you're black. I mean, come on. Sputnik, which is based on the same adenovirus technology as AstraZeneca, was held up as being 92% effective at preventing symptomatic COVID infection following the phase 3 trial. And they say this in the story, accusing the Russians of falsifying their data on their vaccine. It says that was comparable with the Moderna, 94%, and Pfizer, 95% vaccines, and significantly higher than the AstraZeneca jab at 79%. Well, does anybody out there right now believe that Moderna and Pfizer are 94% and 95% effective, knowing what we know now? Is it there a possibility that maybe the United States, Moderna and Pfizer, maybe they falsified their trial data? What is the accusation here about Russia? Faked. How Russia faked its COVID vaccine trial and made billions along the way. Do you want to know what they've made off of the Sputnik vaccine? $7 billion, according to this story. Seven. Actually, that's 7 billion pounds. I'm not sure where the pound stands in relation to the dollar. It may be around $8 billion. Sputnik faked their way through the trials to make $8 billion. Those Ruskies. That evil Russian government, the United States faked its way through the data around Pfizer and Moderna, and they have made somewhere north of $100 billion now. We take any faking and profit gouging, we take that to entirely, I mean, the Russians can't even touch us in corruption. This is so funny. They go through, and I'm not sure if they ran these models. What was the likelihood? How many times they say they ran the scenario 50,000 times to try to replicate the results that the Russians got for Sputnik? How many times did they run the numbers for Pfizer and Moderna, who claimed 94 and 95% effective rate and 100%, they told us, 100%. Oh, I guess I need to go back and find the clip. CDC Chief Rachel the Lying Walensky came out and told us, it appears from the data we have that it is 100% safe and effective and 100% effective at keeping you from hospitalizations and deaths. And of course we know that this thing is not stopping hospitalizations, not stopping deaths. Israel, actually, one of the most heavily vaccinated countries with the Western vaccines, particularly the Pfizer vaccine, had more death during Omicron than they had during the original one before the vaccine was released. I mean, I got to tell you, these people have got some balls. I will give them that. It is quite interesting to see. I mean, this is just borderline funny. It's not funny for all the people who have succumbed to the fear-mongering and have taken this experimental shot and realized catastrophic results from it, or no effect whatsoever. Well, I won't say no effect. Even the people who didn't have heart problems or really any bad lasting side effects from this shot have been treated to multiple rounds of COVID infection. It turns out you're actually more likely to get more COVID the more you get the shots. But, yeah, it's the Russians. They faked their results. Thank God we live here in the United States where everything is above board and honest, right? Right? when we come back, a little bit of economic news and a little encouraging stuff. The number of Americans falling for the absolute horse pucky that's coming out of Washington, D.C. and people's mouths around some of these narratives they're running, the number is shrinking. It's taken a while. It's taken years of just abject lies from the government. I mean, obviously, to a libertarian, we know that the government's been lying to you about everything for decades and decades and decades and decades. But some really big whoppers they've been telling over the last few years. Apparently, the number of people that are buying their crap is shrinking substantially. We'll talk about that. More good news today on the Mike Madison Show. I'll be right back. All right, we're back. You know, I actually spend a whole lot of time. I probably seem pretty sure of myself on this show. I do a lot of research, so, you know, I try to come to some logical conclusions, and then I try to back them up. I mean, I'm just a kind of a searcher of what I believe is truth and trends, but I really question myself a lot of times. You know, I've looked at this economy, and if you'd come to me and said, Mike, should I be in the stock market 7 years ago? I would have said, oh, absolutely not. This thing is about to fall apart. 7 years ago. Do you know the gains you would have missed? And so I've spent the last 7 years going, am I wrong? Could I possibly be wrong about, is this going to work? Now, at the time, I could never have imagined that the Federal Reserve would start just printing up money to the quantities that they printed it up and buying mortgages and buying government bonds. See, that's stuff that third world banana republic countries do. And I didn't anticipate that our country would do that. I thought that people, even Wall Street, I thought would go, hey, wait a second, this is a bad idea. This won't end well. But they didn't. They went along with it like it was normal. And so this is one of those moments where I go, maybe I'm the crazy one. Maybe they know what they're doing. Because the economy has held up this illusion of success for so long. Well, the wheels are coming off of that. You know, I've been watching mortgage rates go up, and I'm just thinking to myself, well, home prices are at all-time highs. Home affordability is at its worst, I think, in our history now. Certainly, this can't maintain itself. And then I'll talk to somebody in real estate, and they'll go, oh, no, I think it's still going to be going great. I've got a closing today. And I always stop and go, am I missing something? Is there any way, any possible way that homes at maximum values, after soaring for the last couple of years based on stimmies and printed money, is there any way that they keep these elevated prices and now people are still going to act like nothing's changed even though mortgage rates have doubled just this year? Am I missing something? I constantly say these things to myself. I don't want to look like a jackass 2 hours a day getting things wronger and wronger and wrongest. But what I've come to believe is that while my timing, while I may be a little bit more prescient than is profitable, because, you know, if you panic too soon, you miss out on great gains. But it is the inevitability of what's happening right now will prove that, okay, my thesis was always right. My timing wasn't great. I never understood how long they can do the extend and pretend game. But my thesis was always right. This was always going to end badly. When it comes to the real estate market, I've been scratching my head saying, are houses still in the metro area here? Are they still closing? And you got to get your offer in by 6 o'clock because everybody's bidding up these houses. I talk to people in real estate and they say, oh, yeah, everything's going great. And I think, how can that be? How can that possibly be? Well, the signs are coming out. Jamie Dimon, the head of J.P. Morgan, one of, if not the, largest bank in the United States, has decided that more than 1,000 of their mortgage workers will be reassigned. Some of them reassigned to the unemployment lines. They fired about half of them and moved about half of them into other positions. It says our staffing decision this week was a result of cyclical changes in the mortgage market. And, of course, what they're talking about is mortgage rates going from 3% to 6% in a matter of months. And so they've taken out 1,000 mortgage bankers from J.P. Morgan. They're not the only ones. Compass said in a regulatory filing they'll cut 10% of their workforce. These are mortgage companies, about 450 employees, while Redfin plans to lay off about 6%, accounting to roughly 470 workers. The people who get paid to see these kinds of things are seeing these kinds of things finally. So maybe I'm not crazy. Beware of the falling prices. It's encouraging to know that fewer and fewer people are believing this crap. Now, you wouldn't know that from going into a Kroger in Jackson, where people are still masked up for no reasonable reason. I can't tell you. I mean, I'm going to start having to do some kind of a study. I wish I was a card counter. You know what a card counter is with blackjack? You assign a value to every card. Something like 1 point, you know, 1 through 6 is 1 point, 7 through 10 is 0 points, and every 10 and every face card is a negative point. You keep track of this, and it's a way to tilt the advantage in your. It's a very complicated system. You have to, a great deal of concentration goes into counting cards. I need to start taking this into Kroger and start counting. Number one, what is the percentage of people that are still wearing masks? So I've got an idea of what we're dealing with in our society here. And then of those people, how many of them have them draped down below their nose? I mean, how close, what percentage towards full-on idiocracy are we? I would say right now it's trending somewhere in the 15 to 20% of people who actually are still wearing the mask and letting it drape down below their nose because they don't quite understand the flow of air into their body. But fewer people are believing what's going on. Joe Biden said this yesterday. He's out there pushing the Putin price hikes, and people aren't buying it. But he did see this that I thought was pretty comical.
The companies running gas stations and setting those prices at the pump.
Hey, I want you to know, you can't see this. I'm watching it on a Twitter thing. He just leaned into the microphone, so stop what you're doing. This is Joe Biden being serious, okay? He's leaning in. This is important.
And setting those prices at the pump. This is a time of war, global peril.
This is a time of war that we caused and that we are prolonging.
Ukraine, these are not normal times. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect.
There is nothing. I wish I could. Sometimes I wish I had a television show or I streamed this thing. Looking at Joe Biden with his big kind of deer in the headlight eyes, you know, it basically they look like old senile man eyes. With him leaning into the microphone with those bug eyes, and he says the words, "These are not normal times." Boys, he got that one right. Just looking at him. Looking at him deliver this, saying these are not normal times. He is dead on right about that.
Normal times. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you are paying for the product. Do it now. Do it today. Your customers, the American people, they need relief now. So let me summarize.
I have shut down all drilling, all exploration. I've cut down on the pipelines that would have moved oil and gas more efficiently. We have sanctioned Russia to death, cut off a ton of oil from the world's markets, from Venezuela, from Iran, from Russia. To recap, and that's costing you a fortune. But you gas stations, you greedy gas stations, cut the price now. people aren't buying this. Here's the encouraging statistic down here. This was a story about them removing the 18-cent federal tax, the tax holiday. A lot of people pointing to everybody from Nancy Pelosi to Barack Obama saying that that's just basically theater, doesn't do anything whatsoever. But only 11% of Americans believe the Biden administration's narrative that Vladimir Putin is to blame for record high gas prices, with the majority blaming Biden's poor energy policies instead. Only 11% of Americans believe the Biden administration's narrative that Vladimir Putin is to blame for record high gas prices. So, like I say, this is encouraging to me. We are slowly whittling away. Reality is smacking so many people straight in the face and in the pocketbook that they can no longer turn away from the reality of the disaster that is the Biden administration. I don't know what the 11% are thinking about, but I would imagine they are walking around right now with a mask on, draped below their nose. I'll be right back. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. So some people are waking up. Only 11% of people are believing the Putin price hike narrative being driven by the White House. It's not effective. It doesn't work. And the charts are quite obvious that inflation was with us long before Putin. The problem I have is that even people who don't believe that still don't know the truth. And many people run away from the truth because they want to score political points. This was a little discouraging to me. While it's fun to watch the rats in D.C. in their circular firing squad blaming each other for this between the Federal Reserve and the government and Democrats, everybody's trying to deflect blame from inflation. They all deserve responsibility for this. And people would actually understand. It really goes back. I'm using this thing too often, I believe, but that Henry Ford quote where he says, "It's a good thing that the American people don't understand the banking system, for if they did, there would be a revolution by tomorrow morning." So the beast that is known as Washington, D.C., their number one priority, and Wall Street, their number one priority is that you do not understand what is happening to you. Half of you need to blame the other half. Yell at each other. As long as they can keep you doing that, you cannot understand what is going on, because if you did, we would actually revolt against the right people. This is Bill Hagerty. Is that his name? Bill? We'll call him Bill here. Yeah, Bill Hagerty. He's a Republican from Tennessee. He got Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve. It's sad that I've got to give Jerome Powell's title every time I say his name, because I know the vast majority of people don't know who he is, and they really don't know what the Federal Reserve is. That's the problem. That's why we're in this mess in the first place. This is Bill Hagerty, a Republican from Tennessee. Jerome Powell spoke to Congress yesterday, and Bill Hagerty is going to ask him a question about inflation to make it abundantly clear and get the Federal Reserve chief to admit this is not the Putin price hike.
To turn to another point, Chairman Powell, I realize there are a number of factors that play a role in the historic inflation that we're experiencing. Supply chain disruptions, regulations that constrain supply. We've got rising inflation expectations and excessive fiscal spending. But the problem hasn't sprung out of nowhere. And in January of 2021, inflation was at 1.4%. By December of 2021, it had risen to 7%, a five-fold increase. Now, since the war in Ukraine began in late February, the rate of inflation has risen incrementally another 1.6% to a current level of 8.6%. So again, from 7% to 8.6%. Given how inflation has escalated over the past 18 months, would you say that the war in Ukraine is the primary driver of inflation in America?
No, inflation was high before, certainly before the war in Ukraine broke out.
I'm glad to hear you say that. The Biden administration seems to be intent on deflecting blame, and as recently as just this past Sunday, spread the misinformation that Putin's invasion of Ukraine is the, quote, biggest single driver of inflation. I'm glad you agree with me that that is not the truth.
Okay, so there you go. Now, it's true. It's true. The Putin price hikes is just a lie. It's a distraction. So Bill Hagerty, the Republican from Tennessee, he makes his political point, right? He points out the fact that the Biden administration is lying about this. But here's what's aggravating to me as an observer and a libertarian. This Republican, Bill Hagerty, Republican from Tennessee, was successful at making his political point there to damage the other party, to damage the sitting president. And the sitting president certainly deserves every criticism that is levied against him. But Bill Hagerty, the Republican from Tennessee, is talking to the actual person who is responsible for the inflation. He's got the guy sitting 10 feet away from him, the person who is most responsible for the higher prices that Americans are paying on everything. Why in the hell didn't Bill Hagerty, Republican from Tennessee, nail him to the wall for the money printing? The next logical thing would have been, okay, so we've gotten that. It's not the war in Ukraine. Could it possibly be all of the money that your organization has printed, particularly over the last 2.5 years during the Trump administration and the Biden administration? He's got the one person in the world most responsible for the inflation. And all he does is make a political point. He does the political theater, the world wrestling move, the villain, the good guy, the bad guy, depending on which side you're already on. And this is why this will never be solved by either of the two wings on this corrupt bird that is the United States political system. He's got the one guy, Jerome Powell, the Federal Reserve. They are the problem. Now, a lot of what the Federal Reserve does is in response to what Bill Hagerty and his colleagues do. Right? Our government spends so much money, the Federal Reserve makes the conditions possible for them to spend that money. They print up the money and they give it to the government. These are the two entities most responsible for inflation. So I'm thrilled that only 11% of people are buying this Putin price hike crap. But the fact that a Republican has got the guy, I mean, if you were to embody, what do they call it, personalization? If you wanted to create the avatar for inflation, that's Jerome Powell, who he's talking to, and he doesn't light him up like a Christmas tree. And this is part of the reason that Americans will never understand what is happening to them. Republicans, supposedly the more sane people in our society, supposedly the more economically literate, you understand, sort of, you kind of understand about free markets. You sort of kind of understand about a government that's too big. But even your party, when given the opportunity to question Mr. Inflation, I mean, the guy. It's like catching a thief in the house and trying to decide, instead of saying, why are you in the house stealing all the stuff, you just ask the robber, now, was it Mr. Johnson or Mrs. Johnson who didn't lock the back door? I believe it was Mr. Johnson. Well, Mr. Johnson says it was Mrs. Johnson. Well, I was casing the joint, and it looked like it was Mr. Johnson. All right. I rest my case. Mr. Johnson is responsible for that. You've got the thief in the house. He's the one taking the stuff. This was just floored me. I'll be honest with you. I watched this originally just to see, because I liked seeing the rats start to turn on each other. Biden's blaming Putin. The Federal Reserve chief is telling him, no, it's not Putin. You know, there's going to be a lot of blame shifting here. They're all responsible. Biden's responsible. Hagerty's responsible. Jerome Powell is the guy most responsible for this. I enjoyed this, but I remember getting to the clip and it ended and I went, wait, hold on a second. There's got to be more here. Surely Bill Hagerty said, okay, so we've got Putin out of the way. You know that you're the one most responsible for the inflation, right? But it did not happen. And so the thing is that we can't let any of these people escape responsibility. And the one entity that is most responsible is going to get away with this. as I have said, long before this inflation ever even took hold, when people were going to protest in Washington, D.C., whether it was January 6th or any of these kind of right-wing protests that were going on in Washington, D.C., how many times have I said, would you please swing by the Eccles Building? That's where the Federal Reserve is housed. If you actually want to address the problems of this nation, long before the inflation actually took hold, I was telling you it was coming. I was surprised it took so long. But I've been begging people, just swing by the Eccles Building, knock on their door, chant out in front of their building. But they don't. I would imagine many people hearing me have just heard the term Eccles Building for the first time in their lives. You've heard White House. You've heard Capitol Hill. But the actual source of your problems, the Death Star, as I refer to it, is at the Eccles Building in Washington, D.C., and people don't know about it. So, big swing and a miss. Again, politicians score political points. They don't solve problems. They don't inform. They do not educate people. And this is why these situations keep happening over and over and over again. The boom-bust cycle. Everybody belly aches about a recession, not understanding what creates this boom-bust cycle. It's at the Eccles Building. Bill Hagerty had Mr. Inflation right in front of him, 10 feet away, and didn't light him up. Big, huge missed opportunity, but I'm sure Bill Hagerty understands, like the rest of the Republicans who want to now create this idea, Biden wants to make it Putin's price hike, the Republicans want to make it Bidenflation, and the chairman of the Federal Reserve is just sitting there laughing at all of us. Because they know that they actually work for Jerome Powell, too. Jerome Powell, Mr. Inflation, he's the one that feathers the politician's nest. They're never going to scorch him. It's never going to happen. The only way they can pay off their political donors is if Jerome Powell keeps printing up money. So the last thing any Republican or Democrat wants you to know is that the root of their corruption is the Federal Reserve. As long as you don't know that and don't hold the Fed accountable for that, they get to keep doing what they've always been doing. It's really, really sad stuff to see. This was a layup. I think I may run for Congress. I'll be right back.
At first I was afraid. I was petrified. I kept thinking I could never live without you by my side. But then I spent so many nights just thinking how you'd done me wrong. I grew strong. I learned how to get along.
All right, only a few minutes left in this hour. We'll come back with Americans for Prosperity. Stone Clanton is scheduled to come in today, tell us what they're up to and some of the events that they are trying to educate the American people about what's going on in inflation. I have a frustration. I'm waiting for people to catch on to stuff. And it's discouraging when I see people in the mask. There's some people, they'll never catch on. There are people that will go out there and they will inoculate their children, their six-month-old, their two-year-old toddler, against a disease that is not a danger to them with an experimental shot. Some people cannot be reached. I am aware of that. I'm just hoping that number is getting increasingly smaller. So when I see the 11% are believing the Putin price hikes, that's encouraging to me. That leaves 89% of people who can smell a rat. At some point, it has to smack them in the face. It has to turn you upside down at the gas pump and shake the change out of your pockets. But finally, people will wake up. But now I'm going to make you mad. Because I'm wondering how long it will take for Trump supporters to finally realize they've been duped, too. I should call this my least popular segment on the Mike Madison Show. And I think most people just don't trust my opinion because I'm not part of the tribe. You would think an objective observer would be more credible than somebody who has a dog in the hunt, but, you know, whatever. People didn't believe me about John Bolton when he put him as national security advisor. You don't understand, Mike. Trump's got a plan. He's taking the neocons and he's turning them against us. All this ridiculousness. John Bolton turned out to be exactly what I told you John Bolton would be. Christopher Wray at the FBI told you the day he was announced as a candidate for FBI, I told you he was a snake. You don't understand, Mike. He's Bill Barr, the attorney general. Warned you about him. Ignored. Mike Pence. I was on from day one. I didn't understand why he had such an establishment stooge, and I learned during the course of Trump's presidency that he was, in fact, a cyborg, not all human. And I could go down the list. Gina Haspel at the CIA, who actually was a mentee of John Brennan. Trump makes her the CIA chief. Alex Azar, the Health and Human Services Secretary, who came from Eli Lilly, the drug manufacturer, the Raytheon executive at Mark Esper at the Pentagon. Rudy Giuliani, still people think he's a great American hero because he's been drinking his way through the Challenge the Election tour. And then there is the warmonger, blood-soaked criminal Mike Pompeo. I think people are finally catching on to him. He certainly is excited about World War III with Russia right now. But it's going to take a while. I think this may be one of the last things to realize that Trump is not, I don't think he's who you think he is. I'm not sure if he's playing a part or if he is just a man with absolutely no core beliefs whatsoever. But I did find this interesting. I talked about the waking up. The co-founder of Women for Trump is not happy with Donald Trump in comments published by Politico Wednesday. Amy Kramer, a January 6th rally organizer who co-founded the group Women for Trump, blasted the former president over his endorsement of Katie Britt, who won the Republican Alabama Senate primary on Tuesday. Britt defeated Representative Mo Brooks, who was backed by Kramer and many other conservatives. This is what Kramer said, quote, Donald Trump is disconnected from the base, unquote. She added, it's time for those of us in the movement to get back to basics, back to our first principles. We were here long before President Trump came along, and we're going to be here long afterwards. Trump initially endorsed Brooks, but rescinded his support when the polls didn't look good for him, and he told, I believe, an Alabama rally to move on from the 2020 election. This was too much, because Donald Trump is about Donald Trump. He has no core beliefs. It doesn't matter if Mo Brooks was the more conservative guy. Donald Trump wants fealty. He wants worship. And as soon as you cross that, he doesn't care what kind of snakes go to Washington, D.C., as long as they sing his praises or they go along with the system that he wants to rule over. Do you want to know my opinion? Why Donald Trump wouldn't endorse Michael Cassidy? Michael Guest, known to have voted for, I guess, the original idea of the January 6th committee. You would think that Trump would have an axe to grind there and maybe endorse a challenger to that. You want to know why Trump didn't endorse Michael Cassidy in this primary? I mean, I guess there's a few days left. There's a possibility he comes out. I wouldn't be waiting on it because Trump doesn't want to cross the Republican Party. Trump does not want to cross the swamp. Now, maybe Trump doesn't know about Cassidy. Maybe he's disagrees with Cassidy. Maybe he doesn't want to give him an endorsement, but I can guarantee you, you would think he would. Donald Trump swings his endorsements around like a hammer, a tool for retribution is what he does. And you can bet your bottom dollar that he would go after Michael Guest if he thought he was a disloyal Republican. But the bottom line is that, you know, Kevin McCarthy is behind Michael Guest. So Donald Trump's not going to upset that apple cart. Donald Trump's not going to go against the swamp when it suits his purposes. I've told you this is going to be my least popular segment of the week, month, year. But I looked at a story a couple of days ago. I never got around to it, but it was the Senate race where Mo Brooks was really endorsed. I mean, this also goes to the endorsements of Dr. Oz, the dual citizen from Turkey who's had all kinds of things about gun control and everything else. And Donald Trump got behind him because he thought, yeah, he had a better chance of winning. And he's a celebrity. So he jumped on board with Dr. Oz. I mean, I don't know how many warning signs you need. John Bolton, Christopher Wray, Bill Barr, Mike Pence, Gina Haspel, Alex Azar, Mark Esper, Rudy Giuliani, Mike Pompeo, Dr. Oz. Any of these other establishment figures that he's thrown? Oh. An Operation Warp Speed. Yeah, that's a fun one to listen to people try to twist their way out of when they do the mental gymnastics of saying, oh, you don't. But he's a... I'm not sure. I can't keep up with exactly how that is still acceptable, but he's still out there hawking this experimental shot. One of the reasons that that your toddler right now is being contacted by your pediatrician to take part in this experiment is because Operation Warp Speed, where they cut the red tape to allow this thing to be brought out into circulation, And Donald Trump still continues to tell you that if you fight it, if you resist, if you're suspicious, if you're hesitant on the vaccine, you're just playing their game. That's what he told his supporters. He wants you to take credit for Operation Warp Speed. So I think it'll be the last thing. And I don't know when it will be. I may be long gone. It may take decades. It took a while for people to catch on to the Bush family. I had a Bush Cheney sticker on my car. I'm still trying to atone for that. I do apologize to the universe for doing that. It may be one of the last things people catch on, but I'm just telling you, don't fall in love with a narcissist. That's what I would say to you. You got a better shot in 2024 with a ham sandwich against Joe Biden if Joe Biden decides to run again, I believe, than you do Donald Trump, but that's just my opinion. I know a lot of people are waiting for the second coming, including many people at the station. I'm telling you, I think they have parties at the station and don't invite me because of segments like this, but that's all right. I'm not in it for a social status. When we come back, we'll talk to Americans for Prosperity. Stone Clanton's in the studio with me. We'll see what they're up to. You need to get involved with this group. See you in a minute.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul, you're on your own.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. Thanks for joining me today. And also joining me today is Stone Clanton from Americans for Prosperity. We do our Freedom and Prosperity Hour every Thursday. Find out what they're up to and how they are trying to move Mississippi in a positive economic direction. Stone, thanks for coming in.
I appreciate it.
You know, we're talking about gas prices last hour. I mean, everybody's, you know, nobody talks about the weather anymore. I mean, it's hot as hell out there, but the weather is secondary now, even with it being 106 degrees. People want to talk about gas before they talk about the weather now. So everybody's talking about that. I'm getting to where I feel guilty making y'all drive out to Flora. Do you need to start charging me or something like that for appearance fee?
No, I think I actually live in Clinton, so it's just about a little 10-minute drive over to the station. So that ain't bad for me. Now, once you start talking to Starline and Kate, you have to discuss that with them.
That's why they sent you. They're like, you're closer. Whoever's cheapest can get out there. Yeah, I got to tell you, this drive out to Flora every day, I live in Jackson, and it's a bit of a hike. And I've had a pretty fun little car. It's a little twin turbo, two door sports sedan. I'm driving it on the eco mode, which is not fun at all. I mean, this is how it's personally affecting me, Stone. Yeah. I'm having to drive on eco mode, which tamps down my horsepower in my car. This is a great tragedy for me.
It's a great tragedy for everybody.
Yeah.
And that's why we're trying to relieve some people's pain right now going around with a true cost tour, you know, that we'll talk about a little bit later.
Yeah. It's sad. Being at the pumps now, I'm starting to pay attention. I think I am, I'm not an incredible observer like I'm a good observer. I am almost always observing things when I'm trying to figure out economic stuff, human behavior. I'm just so curious in the things that are going on. And I've started really paying attention. When I go to a crowded gas station, I'm paying a lot of attention to how people are buying gas, or if I'm in somewhere, a convenience store, you'll see people, how much gas they're buying. And I just get this sense, I just see a lot of people that are like, you know, they buy a pack of gum or something like that for what's a pack of gum now, $60 or something like that. But they go in and they buy a pack of gum for a few bucks, and they hand a $10 bill, and they go, just whatever's left in gas. You know, they're getting like $7 worth of gas at a time. Mm-hmm. I see people go in and pay in cash, you know, that don't have debit cards with them or whatever, and they're paying cash, and they're getting $20 worth of gas, which a couple of years ago, I mean, that might be good for a couple of days. And you just realize that's one day. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and if they had more money, they would be putting more gas in their car. But I think people are going day to day to day in a large portion of our population, because they can't afford to $100 fill up all the time. And so they're back and forth to gas stations, back and forth. Can I make it through today? Can I make it through tomorrow? I mean, I think that's real.
No, it is. And like we were talking about before the show started, it isn't just a gas. People see that glowing red or green number going up day by day.
It's always red.
Yeah. So people see that, but we still don't understand. Like, people go in the store and just pick up whatever.
Yeah, you got to get whatever you got to get.
Yeah, you got to get whatever you got to get, but it's just... But the price of fuel, the inflation and the spending is in turn affecting everything else.
Yep.
Because the farmers got to pay for the fuel, and some and
truckers.
Like, the truckers, the renewable fuel standard that requires all the regulations on gas has to have so much corn and ethanol in the gas to make it green or whatever you want to call it, green as it can get, I guess. Well, that in turn incentivizes the farmers to grow the more corn, then in turn not produce as many other crops.
Which also makes corn more expensive to farmers who need it to feed and livestock.
Never-ending cycle, and it affects it is literally affecting everyone. I go by any chance I get, I fill up.
Yeah.
I do.
Well, yeah, I used to kind of play that game just almost like a hobby. I was like, well, do I want to? I'm out here in Florida and it's this price, but if I wait, I can get back there. And you know, if I just get enough for 3 or 4 days, I'll be interested. So maybe I'll save a few bucks. Well, I'll tell you one interesting phenomenon that I think is psychological that's very interesting is that people will drive, they'll see a gas station that has got gas that's 10 cents cheaper. And you'll see cars lined up there at $4 a gallon. 10 cents is almost, it's 2%. It is 2.5% is what they're saving. If you save 10%, save 10 cents, and you've got a 20-gallon tank, you are saving you're saving $2.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because people will make that decision around $2 because they're sensitive to gas prices. These are the same people that will buy a $5 coffee. Yeah. They will go to the grocery store and buy a steak
not paying attention to that. This all the attention's on this, and that's great. It is, because that affects everyone, because you got to get from one place to the other. But it's everything, like, you go in and, like you said, they'll pay for a $8-$9 cup of Starbucks.
Yeah.
But then they're stingy with their gas.
Right, but they want to save that $2. They'll drive halfway across town because I think Gas Buddy said, you know,
yeah, and then they'll waste gas driving that far.
Right.
And, you know, sitting there in the mile-long line. I don't know.
It's
trade-offs, right?
Well, it's psychological, I think. And, I mean, I'm even subject to it, too. I mean, I've got this discount sitting at Kroger. I'm going out of town. Mm-hmm. I got to drive to Dallas, and so I've got my big Kroger discount sitting there on my card. And every time I go to the pump, it says, you know, is this the time you want to use the big discount, or you just want to use your little everyday 3 cent discount? And I am in my head going, oh, I'm going to save that for when I fill up for this road trip, so it doesn't cost me as much to fill up. I mean, I got to top it off to get from here to Dallas. So I'm going to still, it's going to save
but
me
it,
like
it decreases every day, even though it's the same big number. It decreases every day.
It's basically going to save me. I mean, I'm going to go to Dallas for maybe $3 cheaper when it's all said and done. But I make the conscious decision at the pump. I'm saving that discount. It makes no logical sense, but emotionally, there's something about it that captures you, that you're trying to save every nickel you can. Then, but you know, but then we do other things where money doesn't seem to matter. It's very weird.
Something your brain tells you to do.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like when you got a pen, that there's that little clip in the end where you want to stick it in your shirt, but you gotta pull that off.
Keep picking at it until it pops off. Yeah, I just find what we do psychologically in these situations to be incredibly interesting. I wish that people, and God love you, we're going to talk about what y'all are doing to kind of educate people. But what you and I are talking about, everything from fuel and then the regulations and everything else, you know, it is my supposition here as a libertarian radio show to try to point out to people, the root cause of every one of these problems is government.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just government. It is, you know, it is Biden not pumping and stopping these things. It is it is the endless regulations and the bureaucracies of the costs that go into all of these things. I mean, I wonder what the price of gasoline would be right now if you just had free markets in gasoline. If you found a hole that's got oil in it and you want to pump it, and you can be, you know, you... In a libertarian world, you've got private property rights. So you can't be dumping stuff and destroying land and affecting other people. You'd get the crap sued out of you. So everybody would have to be responsible in what they do. If you could just say, hey, if you've got the money and you can invest the money, pump oil, put it out into the free markets. There's no, you know, regulations around all this stuff. There's no there's none of these green things you're talking about that add cost to that. I mean, I wonder what the price of a gallon of gasoline would be right now.
I would love to see it.
60 cents.
In the perfect libertarian utopia?
Yes. I mean, no sanctions against Venezuela that's got all this crude, Iran that's got all this oil, Russia that's got all this oil.
The Paris Climate Agreement or whatever.
Yes. Yeah. You get all of that stuff out, I'm telling you, this world would be awash in oil, and we wouldn't be talking about any of this, and everybody's life would be improved, including those people in third world countries who rely on trucks and trains and airplanes to get goods to them to improve the lot of their life where they can't farm or, you know, it another thing I thought about the other day, I'm really resisting this idea of them pushing us towards electric vehicles. We're not ready. You know, I mean, there's problems with electric cars. Electricity rates are going up too, so that's no panacea. There's a whole host. I won't go into all of the things about it. But you know what's really lost to me? I was driving down the road the other day. Do you know how beautiful the American automobile is, or just the automobile in general? You get into this machine, and it is air-conditioned. It is safe. It gets you on the road, and it is going to get me from Jackson to Dallas, Texas, in just a, you know, in 6 hours. It's going to get me there in great comfort and safety. I mean, the fact we are trying to kind of this green movement, and Biden administration, and all that, they're trying to get us to somehow disavow the use of these combustion engine vehicles.
We're spoiled.
They are the greatest thing to have maybe ever happened to mankind. Electricity's a close runner-up as well. But this is one of the greatest things to ever have happened. We should all take a minute and go, oh, my God, can you believe that science has given us something where we can pull something out of the ground, stick it into a machine, sit in a comfortable seat, and move across the country at our will and our leisure. The car is the internal combustion engine has improved more lives and has given us more luxury and comfort and improved the quality of our life than maybe any other invention in the history of mankind. And we're treating it like it's this horrible thing we need to end. Mm-hmm. It's bizarre.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't, like I said, I think it all goes back to the fact that we're spoiled and also self-righteous, maybe.
And the fact that
if you're not more liberal in the fact, or you're not more progressive in the fact that with energy and that kind of stuff, then you're a bad person. So right. I think we're trying to one-up each other in that aspect. But yeah, I agree. I think people are just spoiled.
I've had this conversation with liberals, and I say, do you understand the poor people in African countries that because of combustion engines, that their entire societies have been transformed. They are so much more prosperous. They can get their goods out to the world now. They do it through gas-powered vehicles that go through trucks and planes to get their thing. I mean, gasoline and our ability to harvest this resource from the ground and put it into machines has improved the lives of everybody. It gets medicines to people where they need them. It transports people by helicopter when they're in a car crash. I mean, it is just the most beneficial thing we could possibly have done. And this idea that, you know, I don't hate the planet, but I love people, and this has been a tremendous boon to people.
Mm-hmm.
It's weird. It's just a strange thing to turn our back on something that has been so successful and made so many people so prosperous and comfortable.
I agree.
That now we villainize it. It's just a bizarro world. All right. Well, I kind of went on a tangent there.
No, it's good stuff.
All right. We're talking to Stone Clanton with Americans for Prosperity. We'll take a quick break so we can let Stone get into exactly what they're doing, especially with this tour, trying to explain to people that the cost of government is what you're paying for right now. We'll do that in just a second. Stick around with us.
I tear my heart open. I sew myself shut. My weakness is that I can't do much. And my scars remind me that the past is real. I tear my heart open.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. We're talking to Stone Clanton with Americans for Prosperity. So where you want to go with this? You want to talk about your event that you got coming up?
Yeah, let's talk about the True Cost Tour for a little while. So what we've been doing is going around the country and basically lowering people's price of gas down to what it was on inauguration day of 2021.
Yeah.
And showing them the difference of what this is and learning how inflation is hurting them and their families. And from all walks of life, it's amazing. You can probably go on all our Facebook pages and YouTube page and see these different stories. And we'll be coming to Forest, Mississippi at 503 West 3rd Street. That's Cox Chevron. And we'll be there next Tuesday on the 28th. From 11 to 1, I believe it starts at 11, but we're going to 1,500 gallons. So we'll be doing that, and it's going to be a great time. We're actually looking for some activists right now. We got a group that's going to be going over there, and if you're interested, you can meet us at our Ridgeland office, 9:45 next Tuesday. I'll be there with a rental car. If you need to reach out to me, you can reach me at 601-300-9536. 601-300-9536. And this is just a way for us to, number one, help some people out and send a message to D.C. that inflation is hurting everybody, and which in turn affects people's rent and the price of their food. I think the AFP predicted that we're looking at people are going to be paying $430 more for groceries this year.
That's an annual figure?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, so it's just one of those things. And
you know, I do a couple of times a year, I do a water fast. I think this is going to become very popular.
I bet.
I'm telling you, it's great for your health. You rebuild your immune system. There's processes called autophagy that repairs. I think people are just going to do that out of financial need now. I think fasting is going to become very popular.
Yeah, you might be seeing a lot.
There's a lot of people that do intermittent fasting. Maybe this has become very popular where you just eat one meal a day, essentially, or you eat during a very small window. It may be forced. People may just start doing that involuntarily.
Well, that's so funny. I saw this. I think it was a Washington Post reporter that said something to the effect that she's tired of hearing Americans complain about inflation.
Yeah. I've got the clip.
Yeah, and it was just,
quit your whining.
Yeah, she was like, well, at least you aren't going with only two meals instead of three. Well, whatever. I mean, whatever. Everybody.
How does she know that's not true?
I don't know. This is just, it's arbitrary, and it's just like, it doesn't matter because everybody's an individual, number one. So everybody has different needs. Like,
Let them eat cake.
The same people, yes. I mean, same people who are saying that people are complaining too much have enough already.
Right.
Yeah. They have enough already, so they don't have to worry about where their next rent check is coming from, or where all the groceries are going to be, their milk and bread is going to be coming from if they're having to pay for three kids.
Well, hell, so it's just, the babies are getting no meals these days.
Exactly,
no,
with all the formula.
Yeah.
It's insane.
Well, you know, this is really how out of touch, and particularly the Democratic Party is, you know, they went so against Trump, but they never stopped to ask themselves, why is he so popular? Mm-hmm. You know, why did Trump get a lot of people who had typically voted Democrat before? Why did they vote for him in 2016? Mm-hmm. They never asked that question. They basically just said, oh, it turns out our whole country is racist. That's why we elected this guy. Had nothing to do with Trump's appeal whatsoever. They fail to just look at this, just like this person on MSNBC. And I've got the clip. I've got it for tomorrow's This Week on the Crazy Train. But they're so out of touch. They're just looking at people. And basically, I mean, this woman is sitting on a major network. I'm sure she's, you know, she's making plenty of money. She's in the loop. She's playing the game. She's doing her thing, saying, y'all stop your whining. Come on now. At least you're not starving. I mean, basically, she's saying, you're not starving to death. Quit. Rub some dirt on it, you know, and go on. I mean, it's just unbelievable.
Again, they're out of touch, and
they
that's
have
the problem.
No idea.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And it isn't just necessarily, you know, politicians or elected officials. It's anybody that is in some sort of control, whether it be the media or you know, whatever. So that's crazy. But so next Tuesday on the 28th, we'll be headed over there. There'll be a free ride over there if you meet us in Ridgeland. We'll feed y'all, you know, give y'all water. There'll be some merch there for y'all to wear. So we don't want anybody walking around in just plain T-shirts. We want them walking around in AFP T-shirts.
Yeah, so what do you do? So as people are in line, are you trying to kind of explain to them, this is because, you know, the reason you're seeing, please tell me y'all are mentioned, just somewhere in your script is the word Federal Reserve in there.
I don't know if we're going to have a script on that or not.
Whoever goes out there, say Federal Reserve.
this is more so, I think this is more so about, number one, asking them why they think inflation is hurting them, and just asking that initial question, and then say, how is it hurting them? And then that'll be kind of our...
Well, I mean, I think it's so important for people to connect, but really, I mean, across the board, it doesn't matter, Republican or Democrat. I started to say specifically the left. But you have to understand, and here's the thing for the right, too. You know, Trump was lauded for his tax cuts. I'm for zero taxes. So anything that's less is better, but I'm not satisfied until they leave our paychecks alone and abolish the IRS and the Federal Reserve. But when you do tax cuts, which Republicans constantly campaign on and deliver on quite often, when they get all levers of power, but you don't do spending cuts. Mm-hmm. So all of the money that all the Trump supporters go around bragging about, my man gave me $1,700. I paid less in taxes this year. You're paying it now because they didn't cut spending. Mm-hmm. And so the inflation we're seeing right now is a result of, and the other things too, the regulations and things like that we've already talked about. But those people who got this Trump tax cut, It's all gone now.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to go out the door. It's going to go in reverse because they didn't cut spending along with cutting taxes.
Yeah, and in some ways I find it worse.
Yes.
You know, sometimes at least progressives, when they do raise when they do spend more, they usually raise taxes.
Right.
At least they have some. I mean, I don't like that idea.
Right.
But for whatever reason, you know, people who champion fiscal and economic conservatism cut taxes and then keep spending. So
right.
Where is that money coming from?
Well,
is it just
now we know
just
it's
pulling
coming
it out
from.
Of a hat?
I mean, it's coming out of our butts yeah. right now in inflation. They're devaluing the currency because they've sloshed all this printed money to facilitate their spending. And yeah. this is, you know, I think people need to understand this. And, you know, it's always funny to me. You know, I mean, even the Democrats. So if you had, and I would imagine there'd be a lot of people that will be really attracted to your event on the lower rungs of the economic ladder because
oh yeah for you know, sure
if yeah. they understand, you know, all those freebies you're getting from the government, you know, all of these the welfare programs or child care benefits or whatever you're getting, now you're paying for them. The poor mm-hmm. people in this country are paying right now for all these things they've been convinced and have been told are, air quotes here in the studio, free. They're not. They've printed up money to facilitate the warfare state and the welfare state, and now everybody's paying for it through this inflation.
I have not seen one interview from AFP through one of these people that's participating in the True Cost Tour say they're satisfied with it. I mean,
yeah.
not that anyone would say they're satisfied with the current state of inflation and spending, but it just makes you wonder, you know, why this cycle keeps happening of,
yeah.
you know, putting people in power that you know, contribute to these policies.
Right.
But
create these
yeah,
policies.
Yeah.
yeah. Well, and that was my thing. I don't know if you heard earlier, but I had a Republican congressman questioning Jerome Powell, and he makes the point,
uh-huh.
inflation was higher before Putin invaded Ukraine. That's a good point. I mean, Biden is just flat out lying about that, trying to deflect from his own culpability in inflation, which is just like Donald Trump's and Barack Obama's and George Bush's. And anyway, but he had the Federal Reserve chairman, the guy
right.
who creates the inflation. He had him sitting 10 feet away from him, and he didn't just nail his ass to the wall. He should have just ripped him a new one and said, "You're right. Okay, so we've established that it's not Putin's fault we got this inflation. You know whose fault it is? You, Jerome Powell. It is your fault. You created this money."
Well, the thing is, like, and I'm no economist, so I can't.
I am.
You know, so, okay, so I can't speak to this, but I'm looking at, you know, the whole thing with they're raising interest rates, but I don't know how much that's going to help this type of bad policy. Typically, from my understanding, you raise interest rates, you know, under a good economy, and that
well,
helps.
They tried to, and Trump told them not
yeah,
to.
Right.
Trump cried about it and told them, you need to take them back down to zero or negative. Yes, we could have avoided this whole thing if
yeah.
Trump had let them raise rates until
yeah.
2018.
Now, raising the rates now under the bad policy
yeah,
inflation.
It's going to be a disaster.
I don't know how that's going to work out.
It's going to be horrific. Well, they're going to retreat. They're going to keep talking about raising rates. They're going to do it maybe one, maybe two more times. The labor market's going to break. The housing market's going to break. And they're going to start cutting rates again, and inflation's going to get worse. At
well,
that point.
Yeah, and then you have this whole gas tax 3-month
oh, yeah,
holiday that's
right.
coming out,
yeah.
which
Woo-hoo!
Is which is another facade because it's a carve out
right.
for this tax instead of actually doing better policy.
Right. Oh, yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Just,
this is a Band-Aid.
So it's those things never work.
It's one of those little tiny Band-Aids, like a little fingertip Band-Aid put on a gaping wound. That's what this is. It
yeah.
is something that will have zero, no effect, but they can say they're doing something. We're doing something
for
to
one
help
industry.
People. Yeah,
for one industry.
Yeah.
So it's just like I don't know. Hopefully that this True Cost Tour is really doing us good around the country and getting some people's attention. We're getting national media attention right now on it. And
I bet you are. Has any of the other events have there just been miles long of cars?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. And you know somebody's got to be the last person.
Oh
but,
yeah.
But there's been mile long. I mean I'm talking. Oh, well over 1.5 miles probably
yeah.
of cars. And, I mean, you have to have some sort of traffic control. And
well, you know, you were saying that y'all put it on what is the runoff day between, you know,
yeah,
races, because you didn't know. I mean, you planned this a while back.
Yeah, I mean, you can't plan around everything.
You could have put this thing on Christmas morning, and you're still going to get a long line. So it might actually pay to your benefit that maybe a few people will be distracted. Otherwise, you may have 5 miles. There's no telling what prices will be. I think they've come down 4 cents. Isn't that right? Yeah, something like that.
Oh, no, so good.
I don't quite understand. A barrel of gasoline is down around 10% over the past week or so, but gas prices are down 1%.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, isn't that weird? They don't seem to come down as fast. Tell us again where that's going to be.
That's going to be at Cox Chevron in Forest, Mississippi, and that'll be from start. It'll start at 11, and we're going to go through 1,500 gallons, and that's when we're going to make the cutoff.
So can they fill up? I'm curious.
You can fill up a car, okay. A car or a truck. You know, just a vehicle.
Right.
So no lawnmowers, no gas cans. No, you know, we got to try to play it fair.
No tanks in the back of
the
pickup.
Yeah, no tanks. We got to try to let everybody get some. We can't everybody hogging the pumps. But, yeah, so if anybody wants to participate right around here in the Jackson metro area, get in touch with me at 601-300-9536, 601-300-9536, and we'll get y'all over there for free. We'll feed y'all, and we're going to have a blast getting in touch with some of these people and seeing how they're hurting, and we're going to send a message to D.C.
Yeah, I hope so. And have you found out if you got any local media coming out there, any of the TV stations or anybody going to
come? We should have some media coming out there.
Yeah, so. Well, that's good. Okay. All right, we're talking to Stone Clinton, Americans for Prosperity. Stick around. We'll be right back. All over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling. All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, 103.9 WYAB. I got Stone Clinton with me in for Americans for Prosperity. So what else going on with the organization around here outside of trying to explain to people this inflation?
Yeah, so over the next few months and starting next month on July 12th, they're going to be starting something new, a new fun way that people can get involved in grassroots. It's called the Torchbearer Club. And we'll first start out in the Jackson metro area and hopefully reach out to Meridian and the Vicksburg areas after that. And what this is all about is getting people involved who want to be grassroots leaders. They don't exactly necessarily know how, or they don't have the resources to do that. And what we'll do is bring them in once a month for a meeting and go over either a priority initiative that we're focused on, whether it be healthcare or education or home-based businesses. We might have a speaker in there. We'll have some food there. And then once a month on Saturday, we'll have a day of action, whether that'll be a phone banking where we're just surveying people or calling for policy champions in other states, helping them out, or we might go door knocking.
So it's a bit of a leadership, community leadership position.
It's a good way and reason to get involved and a way to new learn things, because I think this is going to be a great way for people who want to be lifelong learners. I was telling somebody earlier, if I had the choice between taking a video game and a book full of classical education, whether it be literature and whatnot, history, to a stranded island, I feel like a lot of people nowadays would take a video game over that. But, you know, I think it's great to be a lifelong learner.
Judge Judy reruns in this place. I'm telling you, we're in a sad state of intellectual affairs these days.
Yeah, this is what this is about. It's a really fun environment to do this in. We'll be reaching out to the college campuses later. And, you know, we don't want to burn anybody out. And we want to know that.
Yeah, you need the youth like you.
Yeah.
You guys have got to do it. I mean, I think I've got a little bit of hope in the youth of this country, to be honest with you. I'm not as down on them. I also realize that I think my generation and those that came before me have really screwed your generation. So on behalf of all of them and myself, I do apologize.
Well, I appreciate
for the crap
that
sandwich we've left you guys.
I do appreciate that.
But it is, eventually, although the baby boomers don't seem like they're ever going to retire. I mean, you look at the people leading this country right now, these are octogenarians.
They will not
give up power. They will not step aside.
Boomers do what they want when they want.
Yeah, boomers. I'll tell you what, I've got some contempt for boomers, too. I've got a lot of boomers listening to the show that I absolutely love.
But yeah.
I mean, I can look at my generation and realize what a train wreck we've left for y'all. I don't know why boomers get so touchy.
Well, you know, I think there's always a chance of hope for everything, and that's another reason that I think this is going to be a really good thing. The Torchbearer thing is, we are an organization, and we realize other organizations, It doesn't matter what kind of in groups. It doesn't matter what kind they are. They like to get together and meet. But if you're not doing anything with those meetings, what are we doing?
Right.
It isn't just it's companies too. You know, you have all these corporate meetings and stuff, but what are you doing out of those things?
Yeah.
Are you acting on that? And I think that's a great thing about AFP is we have a record of actually producing results nationwide, statewide, and local. Because when the people get together and actually want to change something for the better, and they work together to make that difference, they're working with anyone to do good and no one to do wrong, then we can make a difference. And I think that's a great thing about AFP is we produce results. It's a positive environment that realizes that we have problems in America, in Mississippi, and in our communities. But we have a chance to change it, and we can change it if we do it together.
Yeah. Well, I like the concept. You said it's the Torchbearers.
The Torchbearer Club. And that first organizational meeting is going to be July 12th at our Ridgeland office. I don't have the address right here on me. It's in the Woodlands Park in Ridgeland, right off a county line. And I can always get that out to anybody. You can probably find it on our Facebook page. Our Facebook is just Americans for Prosperity - Mississippi or AFPMS.
Yeah, I'm thinking about getting together the pitchforks bearers, and then the pitchforks and the torchbearers. We could all get together and storm the Capitol building down in Jackson. Yeah, I think I'll have the more radical wing of what you're doing. That is not in any way, shape, or form endorsed by Americans for Prosperity. They're a respectable organization doing God's work. I'm a radical troublemaker. So. Anyway, well, yeah, that's interesting. So what areas of the state are y'all doing that in?
Yeah, so we'll start out right here in the Jackson metro area in Hines, Madison, Rankin counties, and then hopefully we'll move out east over to Meridian and then west to Vicksburg and then hopefully bring it all together like a belt.
Yeah.
And just tie it together. And I think it's going to be an awesome time. It's just because AFP has the resources to help grassroots activists make a difference and getting in contact with their lawmakers and their community leaders, and we can do that. And, you know, we'll also be doing some fun stuff, too, between all that.
Yeah, well, it's a good group of people. I've always had fun going to your events. All right, we'll take one more break. We'll come back and finish up on the other side. We're talking to Stone Clanton, Americans for Prosperity. Where can people find y'all? On Facebook?
On Facebook, Americans for Prosperity - Mississippi or AFP. MS, and then you can reach me at 601-300-9536 or sclanton, sclanton, at afphq.org.
Okay. All right. We'll be right back. One more segment. Stick around.
From all over the world, this is Captain America calling. I built you up when you were down on your knees, so will you catch me now? I'm falling.
All right, final segment for the day here with Stone Clanton, Americans for Prosperity. Just kind of going back to gas stuff because that's what everybody's paying attention to these days. Did they pass this 18 cents? Did Congress act and rescind this 18 cents? Or where are they on that?
I have no idea where we're at on that.
Yeah, I wonder if
not personally, I don't.
Yeah, I wonder what the Republicans are going to do. Midterms are going to be certainly interesting. Mm-hmm. What's your opinion here? I mean, one of the problems I have is that if we don't diagnose the problem, I think the Republicans are going to take over the House and the Senate nationally. Biden keeps saying he's going to run again. Is there any way? That can't be true. I mean, there's no way that man is thinking about running again. But the Republicans are about to have the reins of the government, I would think.
Yeah.
But is there any sign? I mean, are they going to? They can't address inflation either if they don't address the spending and the money printing. I mean, they might be able to get gas prices down. There may be a possibility for that if they could remove a bunch of regulations and reopen some things. I don't really know the power, but I don't see any relief on the horizon is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I guess I can't really speak for the actual partisan side of it, but I do know that people are really tired, and I don't understand how the same policymakers are going to be doing what they're doing this time next year, because you know people are fed up with the inflation and everything, all the overspending that's going on, and terrible energy policy. So I don't know.
You know what's even funny about the energy stuff is like when Biden cuts down the Keystone Pipeline or any of these things. When you go look at pipelines around, have you ever seen a map of pipelines across the United States?
I've never seen a map of it.
They're everywhere.
I believe they're everywhere.
They're everywhere.
I believe it.
So the Keystone Pipeline was political.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's a Warren Buffett operation, because you know when the pipeline got shut down, that oil is still moving. it's not moving as efficiently, and it may not be moving in the same quantities. But it's not like they went, oh, crap, we're just going to sit on all this oil and wait till some pipelines open. They're not. They're moving that. But they're moving it by rail, which is a big Warren Buffett thing. And Warren Buffett's known to be a big, you know, he's a player. There's no doubt about it. He comes off as this old shucks grandpa, but he's a shark. That guy's a friggin' shark. I mean, there's pipelines everywhere. And then you shut down the Keystone Pipeline. So now, instead of this stuff moving through a pipeline, which are obviously, they're all over the country, and we don't read about an oil spill every day all around the country. They're very safe. They are actually shipping this oil by truck all over the place instead of a pipeline. I mean, how worse must that be for the environment than moving it through a pipe that's already been built?
And also worse on people's pockets. Yes. Again, we're going back to the...
Right, and it costs more to
move
all,
it. It all interconnects, Mike. It's all, you know, one big thing, and... I don't know. It doesn't look good right now, and you know, by current, I mean, technically, I guess by some definitions, we are in a recession. So, and it's coming there.
They said, you know, a recession is technically two quarters of negative growth. We got the first one already, and then the Federal Reserve that is horrifically and chronically wrong every time, but the trend of their forecast has been from, I think it was 1.3% in the second quarter, down to 0.9% in the second quarter. Now they are predicting 0% growth in the second quarter.
Wow.
Which means the net for the first two will be negative, and we will be firmly in recession.
In a recession.
Yeah. Yet all of the leadership and Wall Street and everything, there's all these people. I see these things all the time that say analysts are now saying there's a 50% chance of a recession by the end of 2023. And I'm looking around going, the hell are you talking about?
I think we may get here a little bit quicker than
that.
We
are in a recession right now. I think a lot of these things are designed to, they think that if they just tell you everything is okay, that it somehow makes it a little bit better. You know, it's kind of like, maybe if you're sitting at your house and you're struggling with your budget and things aren't looking good and you've lost your job, but you look at the news and the news isn't saying it's bad. They're going, well, unemployment's still really low. Maybe inside people's minds they go, oh, okay, well, maybe it's just me.
Maybe, you know, some people.
Yeah, maybe I can go out there and get another job. Seems like everybody else is doing fine. I'm just suffering. The problem is they don't realize it's that all their neighbors are watching that too, going, oh, maybe it's just me. I'm just suffering. But collectively they're all suffering. So I don't know why they say these things that obviously with our own eyes we can see are just not true. We are not doing well. Not doing well.
It's to prevent chaos.
And you know, Biden came out last week or week before where he came out and said, hey, Americans have never had more savings and less credit card debt, when the exact opposite is true. Savings rates are through the floor. They are some of the lowest they've ever been. And credit card rates are setting all-time records month after month after month of people putting money on credit cards. How do they get away with just saying that? They just say these things. I don't know. I mean, I should embrace that. I am the best-looking talk show host for the last 12 years running. It's well acknowledged. I mean, there's nothing to back that up, but I guess I can just say it now, and it's,
it's true.
Somehow true. Yeah, I mean, I guess I can run on that. Yeah, so it's truly just absolutely bizarre times. So I would imagine, if nothing else, with government being as bad as it is and AFP being an organization that opposes bad government policy, you got to feel like you got a pretty good sense of job security for a while.
Yeah, at least for a little while.
They're not going to fix anything suddenly.
But, you know, the work's never done. Even when it looks like it's going good, you know, there's always probably more room for better policy.
Unless you elect to start electing libertarians.
Benevolent libertarian dictator.
Yeah, absolutely. Libertarian Party is on fire. I know y'all are completely apolitical. This is pertinent. But the Libertarian Party has been taken over by Austrian economics people, which they are the free market of the free market. They are the best people economically. They've taken over the Libertarian Party, and you should follow their Twitter feed. They are in the Fed, in the IRS.
I see it.
In the wars. I mean, they are hardcore. I'm becoming a partisan, and I've been a nonpartisan guy for 16, 17 years now. I may become a partisan guy with the Libertarian Party. But, you know, I think that the – you know, and I know it's kind of what your mission is. The amount of prosperity in this country and the comfort we could live in this country if we really didn't have all this interference. I mean, we have succeeded in this country for the past 100 years in spite of the government. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how
imagine what it would be like if we actually had people-based solutions yes. to things instead of government-based
solutions. Where people just made decisions between themselves. Hey, mm-hmm. I think that's a great idea. I'll invest in that. I want to do business with you because you've got a good product. No, I don't want to do business with you. You're going to go bankrupt because your product sucks. I mean, you know, no favoritism from the government, no cronyism from the government, no regulations to keep other people down and keep competition stifled. I mean, like I say, we have gotten where we've gotten.
We could put a man on the sun now.
Yeah, that's right. This has been in spite of the government. And yet you've got politicians saying, give me control of this massive government and I'm going to make everything better. I'm like, no, you're not. Everything you touch makes things worse. I mean, just by the virtue of having this government, I can't imagine what we could do for each other, the trillions and trillions of dollars of extra money that would help feed poor people and take care of homelessness and flood charities with money. I just can't imagine what a utopia the United States could be. Mm-hmm. It have its problems. There's always human tragedy. You can't escape life on planet Earth. But true free markets and economic freedom in this country, I can't imagine what would take place.
Mm-hmm.
It would be great. Is that inspirational? Is that a tear?
No,
I
it's
see
perfect.
Over there?
It's perfect. It's perfect.
Well, you know, it's time, and I know y'all are doing what you can in the state of Mississippi here. So you don't do any of the legislative stuff, do you?
No, I do grassroots engagement. Yeah that's what I do.
I'd be better suited to that myself. I don't need to go into politics. I think I'd burn some bridges down there for sure. All right, we've been talking to Stone Clanton with Americans for Prosperity. Stone, real quick, one more time, tell them how they can find you guys.
Yep, AFPMS on Facebook, and then you reach out to me at 601-300-9536. Or at sclanton, sclanton, at afphq.org. And, we'd love to have y'all.
Great. Well, thanks. Stone Clanton, Americans for Prosperity. They'll be back next Thursday as well. We'll see you next time, people.
No matter
Bye-bye.
How hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try.